Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Going till 12 a.m. on this Wednesday evening. I can't wait to get home and get some decent sleep. This is great. I love this new schedule. My energy, who knew? Going to the gym, going to the little gym with my daughter. I have so much time on my hands, I don't know what to do with myself. I feel like I should be working. I was telling my wife today, I feel like I got something to do. She's like, yeah, you do. Be here with us. Oh, yeah, that. And it's also nice to be on at this hour because you have a different audience. And one of those people from the audience that happens to be listening. And I figured, why not give us a call? My good buddy, Brian Myers, the most professional wrestler, is calling us on this evening. What are you doing? Driving home from wrestling somebody? Would you body slam somebody? And now you're driving home, give us a call?
Actually, Sal, it's so great to hear you at this hour. And I cannot believe you said that because I am driving home from the Creative Pro Wrestling Academy in Hicksville, New York. And we learned body slams today. That's insane that you said that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's just a hunch. I don't really know any other moves myself. Maybe a drop kick or something.
I mean, it's not like every day you do body slams. It just happened to be what we did today. Wow.
How are you feeling about your Mets early on this season?
Great. I went today. I brought my beautiful wife and my two beautiful girls to Citi Field, our first outing of the year. It was nice to be back. And I mean, I texted you the other day. I said this team needs to find its mojo, and I think it's happening, right? Feels good. We won a series against a great team. So I think even with all the injuries, you know, we'll find a way and make this very interesting.
What'd you think of the new scoreboard? I was out there. I went the second game of the year, not opening day. I went to that Saturday for Kodai Senga. I loved it. How'd you feel? We'll see that new scoreboard in person.
Yeah, it's awesome. The other thing is, man, going to games with kids is like you're just playing defense and, you know, catering to them. I'm just dying to sit there and watch, you know, bro out a little bit and watch a baseball game. But that's not exactly what happens when you go with little kids. But Citi Field is such a family-friendly place. I mean, we are really lucky being New Yorkers that we have it.
Dude, you're not kidding about the kids. We have one daughter, and she's about to be two, actually, this weekend. We get Sesame Place. That's a whole other thing for another time.
Oh, well, if they've been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly. Advice welcome, but I already know going in, I'm getting body slammed with that one. But yeah, we got to get to a game because it's not the same. I go with my wife. I go with my daughter. I mean, you can't really enjoy the game the way that, you know, we want to enjoy the game.
No, not when it's dudes sitting back, you know. With a couple beers, soaking it all in. Yeah, it's just a different experience. It's great to bring the family. It's just a different experience with the bros.
How was the crowd there today? Because I'll tell you, Brian, I was shocked when I went for that second game of the year how crowded it was. Maybe I should have known better. But my goodness, it was like opening day. It was packed. How was it today out there this afternoon?
Absolutely slammed, packed to the gills. And, of course, my kids want ice cream. I've never seen the Mississauga line as deep as it was. We got there with, like, 20 minutes the first pitch. Basically got the last spot in the parking lot. It was wild, man, like packed. Well, that's great. That's good. You know, I like the people are also excited about the Mets, right? That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, well, that is true. I guess I didn't factor that in coming off the 101-win season. People are excited about this team, and they are packing it out, even for these early season games here, which is remarkable. How much of the game did you actually see being online for Mr. Softy?
Oh, dude, maybe a combined inning, you know. You're just playing, like I said, you're just playing defense, you know. We're running around looking for Mr. Med, buying merch, buying ice cream. You know, it's fun, though. I did get eyes on some of the new food items, some strange stuff. I was going nuts over that fried chicken sandwich that's got two donuts as the bread, which is wild.
Did you have it?
No, I can't. I mean, that's something. If you offered me a bite of it, I'd take it just to know, but I'm not going to go outright buy that.
Right? Dude, it was delicious. I'm telling you.
Oh, hell yeah.
I've searched. It was a pain in the neck to find. It's upstairs, behind center field, upstairs. But my wife and I went, and we loved it. It was messy, but damn, it was good. You can't have
that. Yeah, that's another. That looks messy, too, yeah.
It was messy. Okay. I mean, you can't have that. Your body's on TV every week, right?
Yeah, I'm in a very, very cosmetic business, Al. Donuts at City Field.
Me too, kinda, but I can hide it with the suit if I wear a little bit baggy suit. What's going on in the wrestling world, Brian? What are you up to these days?
Oh, well, I got a big weekend ahead of me. I'm headed to Oshkosh for Hornswoggle's promotion, and I'm actually doing a live Extreme Conversations where I'm interviewing ECW legend Raven, and then I hop from Oshkosh to Toronto where I'll be live on pay-per-view with Impact Wrestling Rebellion, available on pay-per-view and Fight TV this weekend. I'm in a hardcore war. So Might get some color for you, Sal.
Dude, your schedule is unbelievable. I don't know how you keep up. I mean, when can we possibly go to a game? You only go during the week, that's it?
Yeah, I mean, that's more foolproof, I would say. But, you know, sometimes, you know, next weekend's my birthday. I purposely took off and I got no bookings for my birthday weekend, so.
All right. Well, maybe we can connect at some point. I know last year we went out and watched the Subway Series game and ended up meeting Dwight Gooden randomly, which was awesome. This year, there's no weekends, though, for the Mets-Yankees this year, which is disappointing.
Oh, that means we can get there, though. You're going to be working.
Yeah, you can. I mean, maybe I could take a night off and shoot over there after I do SNY. And by the way, we had Brian over the summer for Baseball Night in New York, which was fun as well. Yeah, we got to figure something out because I definitely got to get to it. It's been a while since we've hung out here. You're busy. I've been busy. But we got to go watch the Mets. And how you feeling before we let you go, bro? How you feeling about your Jets getting Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I'm like nuts reading every article about this because I'm so paranoid about it not happening. And then, you know, we're starting from scratch, but everything seems to be, you know, going as planned. I guess the uncomfortableness comes from as a Jet fan or any sport that I'm a fan of. Like, I've never been in this situation where, like, you know, a trade is happening and you're just waiting. It's an odd feeling. Am I right?
Yeah, but the Jets are going to be relevant in a big way once they get Rodgers. You're right. Like, we're waiting for it. And I know the Jet fans, you know, the normal feeling is to be like, oh, somehow we're going to get screwed here. But it's happening. The GM said it. It's a matter of when, not if. And once it does happen, the Jets are going to be right there in the conversation. Maybe have the best chance of a team that you've seen in your lifetime to go out there and compete to win a Super Bowl.
I think that's a true statement. I mean, the young guys that they have in the team last year were fantastic, and now you put, you know, a proven veteran quarterback. That's super exciting. I mean, for sure. I mean, if all the pieces fall into place, there's going to be something special going on, for sure.
And let me just say before we let you go, Bri, that Brian is a co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, which led to my collecting addiction, which I am now selling off a lot of it. I'm making some big money, man. You're going to see my savings, piling up in weeks here, getting rid of some of this stuff. I may have some Hasbro mail-aways available soon.
Wow, man. What a cut a deal, but I can't cut it on air here in case my wife ever hears me crack, but she can't know what those things are worth.
Right now, yeah. By the way, on the opposite end of that, my wife is finally finding out what they're worth. I sold a figure the other day for $2,000. She goes, $2,000? I was like, yeah, do you believe that? She only knew how much I paid for it.
Yeah, my only saving grace is that because of the podcast, and it is technically my job, I get a little bit of a pass sometimes with all the crazy stuff that comes in the mail, but... Yes, she's doing my taxes this week. She's smart to everything. So.
Oh, man, that is great. All right, Brian, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck this weekend.
Thanks, dude. Impact Wrestling Rebellion live on pay-per-view and Fight TV. I'm going to be getting crazy. Hardcore war.
The most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, no doubt about it, and become a good friend of mine. Love hearing from him. Been a while since we hung out. Got to come check us out of the Met game one of these days. We'll be there hanging out. But big Mets fan. I always say the same story with him. I had no idea. I mean, I remember watching him in the WWE's Kurt Hawkins, and he was wearing the blue and orange gear, and I liked the character. I thought it was funny. I had no idea that he was from... you know, Queens and a Mets fan and, you know, a Long Island guy, whatever. And I should have done the math and put the two and two together with the blue and orange gear. I had no idea. I was thinking his buddy, Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona is his real name. I was thinking he might be, I knew he was from Long Island. I did not know that. Anyway, we somehow connected over social media and have become friends. So it's good to hear from Brian on this Wednesday night. Look who it is, another friend of the show, Saratoga Wills. What is it? Is it August? Saratoga Wills is on the line. What's up, Wills?
Sal, how are you, buddy?
It has been a while. I got a map up. I actually, oddly enough, Wills, I'm wearing my Saratoga shirt today. I'm Saratoga Sal today. We got to book a weekend when I'm coming up there.
Absolutely. You may be like a Care Bear. You're putting out like a Care Bear stare with that T-shirt, just begging me to call in. You know what I mean? So it's good to hear from you.
It was meant to be. Saratoga Wills, also a big Met fan.
Absolutely. Hey, ready? I'm going to play a quick game for you. Guess the Met, right? He's a hitter. He's batting .276, and he's got a .350 on base. Guess the Met.
He's batting .276 and .350 on base. Let me take a stab at it here. I'm going to guess Marte.
Tommy Pham.
Whoa!
Tommy Pham. Yeah, I mean, I think he's like a little bit of an unsung hero this year. I think everybody's beating up the Mets. I think the Met fan is impatient. I think everyone's killing Epler. And listen, we just need to relax and let this thing play out, you know? I mean, we're 13 games into the season. If this was an NFL season, it would be literally one game. It's April. It's, what, 70, 75 degrees outside? I mean, the Mets are going to be good this year, man. I don't know why the Mets fan's freaking out.
Well, because for me anyway, and I'm not freaking out, but at least I'll try to side with the Mets fan who is a little concerned. You know, look, Verlander's not pitching, and not to mention DeGrom has actually made his three starts. Shocker, right? DeGrom actually taking the mound now, and Verlander's out. Scherzer wasn't good his first two starts. Carrasco can't get anybody out. Quintana is, you know, he's out for 3 months. They lose Edwin Diaz, and they're not built to hit. So when you have those things adding up, they get smoked in Milwaukee, which didn't happen at all last year until the end of the season where they weren't swept. I mean, there's at least, for me, a little bit of, huh, could this go sideways here?
Yeah, I think it could. But I don't know, man. If you look top to bottom, Mets are one game over 500.
Yeah.
You know, they're two and a half games out of the best record in the National League. So despite everything you said, and I was just reading something the other day, I think the Mets have the low. Is it true? Do the Mets have the lowest batting average in the National League?
I would not be surprised. I don't know if that is the case. Yeah. So you're saying, yeah, that'll even out a little bit. They'll get. Look, here's the thing, too, Wills. They're good, but we're talking about highest payroll in baseball, World Series expectations, good, and I'm not seeing that to start through the first, you know, 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah, no, I know. Can we talk about Saratoga? Can we go? When are you coming up, man?
Well, I got to book a weekend here. I'm trying to figure it out. That is the first thing I will do for my summer plans is book a weekend to Saratoga. Matter of fact, are you around this weekend? I mean, can I bail on Sesame Place and come up there this weekend?
you absolutely can. Actually, speaking of, you know, this may be for your listeners. The what just opened up in Saratoga is the training track. So not a lot of people know right across from the raceway, there's the Oklahoma training track, which may not mean anything to anybody, but it's actually a great place. On the weekend, you can just walk in there. They have like the Whitney viewing stand. You can kind of go up there and watch the horses literally this time of year, you know, so if you're in or around in the area, something to do. But more importantly, we got to get you up here. And we got to book you now, man.
I know, because they get booked up soon. I know the weekends at Chateau Wills get booked up. What is the is there anything new at the track this year that I could be looking forward to, or is basically the same stuff as last year?
Yeah, I think the track is mostly the same. They're doing something unique this year. Not unique isn't the right way, but they're going to single admission. So for all the folks that kind of used to go general admission and then pay additional to go in the clubhouse, they're getting rid of all that and kind of, you know, they don't want to complicate it. So it's going to be, what does that mean? One price, get into the racetrack and you can enjoy the day at the races. So that's going to be a little bit easier, but I don't know.
What does that mean for me? Nothing. Cause I'm going to sit with you.
Yeah.
Are we getting any owner's suite? Where were we last year? Were we getting the owner's box? I got some nice slacks that I paid $300 for in Saratoga last year. I want to use those babies again.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can make that happen. But you never know. We'll get you over in the golf cart.
Move over Portnoy and Parcells. Licata's coming in. Licata and Saratoga Willis. I want that suite, baby.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll see if we can make
thanks,
that
Willis. Sure.
Yeah, great talking to you, man. I'll talk to you.
Saratoga Wills, we usually have him on right ahead of track season. We had him on the last couple of years, become a tradition. And he's calling in the off season. You know what? The beautiful weather out today. I was feeling like Saratoga legitimately, and we did not plan this. I have my Saratoga t-shirt on today. If the show were televised, you'd be able to see it. But it's not, so you can't. You just have to take my word for it. Unless they post a video later that I'm not aware of, you're not going to probably see it. Anyway, I love Saratoga, and when it is the nice weather like we had today, I mean, it was hot today. It was warm. I'm wearing shorts today weather, and I don't care who says something about it. That's the type of weather that it was today. Too hot, but I'll take it. And it reminds me of the summer, and in the summer, I think of Saratoga and Chandy's. So it was nice to hear from Saratoga Wills. Joel? Is it Joel? Is calling from Oak Ridge, New Jersey. What's up, Joel? Oh, I guess Joel is not there. Mike is calling from Tom's River, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Sal, how you doing, my man? Listen, I'm a huge fan. When you were working with Mike and Chris, I talked to you before, and you got let go very abruptly. I was very upset. I think Mike once talked about why I thought it was ridiculous.
Mm.
But I always remember the one thing with Mike and Chris that I disagreed with them on the most, and to this day it bothers me. And what's going on, what you're saying today about that rule, Sal, I honestly was listening thinking you were goofing and that you were really not being serious. But if there's no eye-in-the-sky rule, the play today was the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen.
What, the fact that they let him overturn it?
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious, what are you talking about what you disagree with Mike and Chris with? What was that? Like, was something with replay or no?
No. When Mike and Chris, there was one thing, when Marv Albert took the job for either the Knicks or something, and Mike and Chris said, how could Marv take that job?
The Nets, yeah, with Iron Eagle. Yeah, right, exactly. It was a Nets job.
I was freaking out. Matter of fact, I met Mike once, and I told him, and I said, how would Mike's doing the podcast now. Is he taking the job from someone? It was so ridiculous that they both felt that way. And I said, I never looked at you who took a side of an argument just to get callers.
I didn't. And I'm not, I think.
Hang up on me.
No,
please.
I'm not. But let me just explain myself. I'm not taking a side to be contrarian. What I'm saying in my mind is factually correct, and everybody should be in agreement here. They're all missing the point. The point should be.
Not.
Yeah, the point should be to get the call on the call. Wait a second. The point of replay is to get the call on the field right.
No. The replay, there's a set of rules in effect that deal with the replay.
But what is the point of replay to begin with?
The point of replay is there's a set of rules and a way to go about changing.
No. What is the point of replay? Why do we have replay in sports? You know the answer. Come on, you're smart, Mike.
No. They have the replay.
For what?
But the replay. Well, that means any play.
No,
like,
but why
like
is replay in sports? You know the answer. Come on, I want to hear you say it.
Then you're going to just cut me off.
No, I'm not.
Replay
is in sports because.
Are you going to let me answer?
I hope you answer. I'm trying to lead you there. Replay
is. You're not letting me answer, and I'm trying to give you an answer. A replay is a system put in effect to try to get calls to get the call right.
Thank you.
Yes, the call was. They made the call right, but they didn't follow the rules. So they need to change the rules and have the eye in the sky rule.
Agreed. We agree.
The eye in the sky rule. Until they have that rule, they cannot do what they did today.
We agree. Hug it out. They need to change the rules. And thank you for the call, Mike, and for your support. I thought you were done there. I'm sorry. We had enough time together. Look, the replay, until they change the rules, the point still is to get the call right. So you can say that they shouldn't have been able to do that. And technically, they weren't supposed to be able to do that. But that doesn't mean that the call wasn't correct. And ultimately, I don't care how they get there, I want the call to be correct. Had this happened in a game in October, what would you be saying? Whoa, he didn't challenge it in time. Or would you be saying, well, at least they got the call right? That's my point. This is not contrarian. It's just saying, hey, guys, what's the big fuss about? At least they got the call right. And ultimately, that should be the goal. 877-337-6666. More your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan. Sal Licata back on the Fan. 877-337-6666. Been a fun first. Geez, it's only been 2.5 hours. Is that it? Watch it fly by as the it's been a fun first couple hours. We have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, coming up in a little while. It feels like the show's flying by, and then I'm like, wait a minute. We're going to midnight. We got 2.5 hours left. We'll do some NBA coming up at 10 o'clock, so we'll continue with your calls here and then get in the NBA with JVT in a little bit at 10, and then reset and take your calls on whatever it is the rest of the way. Ooh, an update on the Island. Islanders just scored a goal here. I believe it was a power play goal. And that should just about do it, as they now take a 4-2 lead with under 4 minutes to go out at UBS Arena as they try to clinch a postseason spot and beat the lowly Habs. It looked like Anders Lee getting that one in front of the net. Anyway, the Islanders looking to clinch a playoff spot, which is a big deal, not just because if you're an Islander fan or not, but because it guarantees we will have all five winter sports teams in the postseason. Nets taking on the Sixers, Knicks taking on the Cavs, Rangers taking on either the Devils or the Canes, and the Islanders taking on either the Canes or the Bruins. So this is a big night here. Islanders potentially clinching a playoff spot and clinching the fact that we'll get all the New York teams into the postseason. And really, the only team to miss the postseason was the Jets this year. Giants in, obviously, they go to the divisional round. Mets, Yankees had their postseason appearance. Yankees go to the ALCS. Mets at least make it to the wild card round. And now you have all five of these teams in. New York sports are back. Chris in Manhattan is on the fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal. Nice to have you for an extended Mr. Licata broadcast. I'm liking it, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'll tell you this. I like these hours. I mean, I feel energetic.
You sound pretty amped up. Yeah, I dig it. I like it. Hey, I want to talk about the Mets, of course, but I wanted to ask you one question, Sal. When you were growing up, I always wondered, did you have that one favorite baseball player that wasn't on the Mets? Like, who was your athlete that you loved, you kind of rooted for, not when they played against the Mets, but on another team?
Probably two guys. It was, actually three. I'll give you three.
Griffey?
Yup. Griffey Jr. was one. Now, remember, okay, to my age, how old are you, Chris?
I got a couple years on you. I'm 58.
All right, so for me, I'm 43, so Griffey Jr. is in my wheelhouse. So Griffey Jr. would be one. You have any guesses of the others? You might be able to get one of the others, maybe not three.
I don't know. You tell me. I know Griffey would have been there.
All right, Griffey Jr., Bonds was always a favorite of mine. And he was to a point where I remember wanting my father would never allow it. I wanted to get that little cross earring in my left ear that Bonds had. I used to love Barry Bonds, so he was number two. Now, I liked a bunch of other guys like Canseco, Will Clark, but you're talking about my favorites were Griffey Jr., Bonds, and Fred McGriff. I love Fred McGriff.
Wow. Interesting. Wasn't McGriff drafted by the Mets originally?
No, the Yankees.
Yankees, right.
Yeah, and he got traded to Toronto, and then from there to San Diego, and then from there to Atlanta. And then it was all over the place. Chicago, Tampa, maybe the Dodgers in there as well. But I loved Fred McGriff.
He was a solid, consistent ball player. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, so for my age, Sal, and I was young still, but I mean, Clemente, you know, just I got a chance to root for him when I was young. And that whole story just, you know, what an unbelievable role model on a lot of levels. And it was, you know, I'm happy I got to see him, even though I was very young. Anyway, Sal, on the Mets. Okay. A good win today, right? I mean, obviously, I mean, nice to see McGill two pretty much identical starts, right? And one against a much better team. So that was a positive. There were some positives today, but the two things I wanted to bring with you is, I got to tell you, Mark Canha, I'm starting to lose it with this guy. And I'm convinced that he's one of these players that should not be a full-time player. You see the worst of him when he's playing too often. I think you see a better version of him when he's playing 60% of the time.
Or how about this? How about if you saw him strictly batting in the seventh spot? I mean, maybe not every day, but the majority of time as a seven hitter. I think our expectations... See, here's the problem that the Mets have. They have too many guys that all they do is walk. I know Nimmo had three hits today, but Nimmo is known for walking. Daniel Vogelbach, known for walking. Mark Canha is a guy who's going to walk. They need hits, not walks. So I'm sick and tired... You know, the same stuff with the walks from these guys.
Sal, you're right. And listen, we know they're going to make some moves. And by the way, you know, Epler is getting killed. But, you know, listen, thank God he brought Robertson in here. I mean, my God.
Why is Epler getting killed? I don't understand that. Somebody's got to explain this to me.
I'm just hearing that. I'm not necessarily myself personally. I guess because they feel like, you know, offensively, he never addressed that. He was, you know, going with these people he likes, like Vogelbach and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's the impression I'm getting from other callers. But look, he brought Robertson in here, and that's so far paying huge dividends. But Sal, you know, the way that the lineup is now, and obviously we can really see what's happening, it's basically Lindor and Alonso, you know, and McNeil to some degree leading the herd. And the only fear with that is if it stays this way, and I'm sure there'll be changes, but if it stays this way, that's a scary combination in a short series, only because if those two guys slow down, you're in big trouble. That's actually a better combination to win games in the season. But if Alonso and Lindor both go into a slump at the end of the season in the post, ooh, that's going to be tough.
Well, that's why it's hard to see this, and thanks for the call, Chris, to see this team built the way that it is. Now, I do have full confidence in both Steve Cohen and Billy Epler that they are going to add a big bat at the trade deadline. Let's hope it's not like last year with Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelbach. And by the way, Darren Ruff is back up with the Giants and in there for the San Francisco Giants tonight as the DH. But anyway, you know, they tried to go with, instead of a big impact bat, they went with guys who I guess are analytically sound. Ruff was supposed to mash lefties, and Vogelback is a guy who was a decent left-handed option. I didn't have a problem with the trade, either trade at the time, but I thought that it was going to be one more piece. There wasn't. They never made that big move, the known, no doubt about it bat. The argument would be that that bat is not there or wasn't there. Now they have to make something happen. The Islanders won 4-2, so they have clinched a playoff spot. That is official. But the Mets are going to need an impact bat. Now, if you add a legitimate five-hole hitter, which is why we love the idea of Carlos Correa, because he is that bat. If you add that, Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, you know, Correa or a legit five bat, whoever it is, McNeil 6, Canna 7, Beatty 8, Alvarez slash catching spot 9, that's a pretty deep lineup. But now you're adding, you know, in this equation, you're adding Beatty and you're adding a five hitter. That's two legitimate bats that you're adding to that lineup. Well, I mean, that's what they're missing. You could live with Mark Canna in that spot. You can live with Canna and Nimmo and Vogelback and Escobar and the catcher spot the way that it is. You just can't do it. I mean, you can. You're not going to win a World Series like that. Manny is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Manny?
Yeah, how's it going?
How are you, Manny?
I'm good. I'm good. First of all, congratulations to the hockey locals. You know, it feels great for the city, and best of luck to all of them. Now, well, Sal.
Best of luck to the Rangers. Forget about the Islanders and the Devils.
Hey, listen, man, I'm a big look, I cheer for all the New York teams. I want them to be great. You know what I'm saying? Especially going against the other.
Yeah, but when they're playing each other, it's hard, man. You can't root for them all.
I go for the Rangers. I'm a Rangers fan when it comes to the hockey. So.
I will be rooting for the Islanders. I was rooting for them to get in. I will be rooting for the Islanders to win their first round matchup with whoever it is, Boston or Carolina, or I guess it could still be the Devils technically. So whoever right. The Islanders are playing, I want the Islanders to win, and I want the Rangers to meet the Islanders in a second round. That's what I'm rooting for.
Well, that's going to be interesting. That's going to get the city going crazy. Now, Sal, going back to this Yankee game and this whole replay stuff, I get where you're coming from where, you know, replay is replay. They got it right. But then what's the point of this 15-second rule and, you know, Tito didn't challenge it. You know, rules are rules at the end of the day.
Right. I know, but it's a stupid rule. I mean, I don't care about those rules.
It is. I actually agree with you. It is. But at the same time, why don't they just scrap that hole? Because it just doesn't make sense.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. I want to see them get... If replay is going to be there... Look, I'm fine with two things. Either get rid of replay or get the call on the field correct every single time. If you can't do the second one, then they might as well do the first one. So today's issue with the umpires is, to me, not a problem because they actually got the call right, which I believe is the entire point. I don't know why people aren't getting that. You want the call. If you're going to have replay there, get it right. Now, you're right. They could take away those rules to try to help get the call right more often. But baseball's half-weighing it. You either have replay to get the calls right or you don't have replay. Which one is it?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Have the replay. But, you know, because all this is just confusion, you know, throughout the whole thing. You know, I get the side of everyone saying, you know, go with the rules because, you know, the other team missed out on the opportunity, you know. I get that. But at the same time, you know, they got it right with the replay. So, I don't know. I just sit back and listen.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Manny. Thank you for the call. I understand what you guys are saying about the rule. I'm just saying that it's a stupid rule. And ultimately, whether you want to abide by the rule, whether you think it's a stupid rule, it doesn't really matter. What matters is getting the call on the field correct. That is correct. And that's what they did. They got it correct. Spanish Armada. That's correct. Louis is calling from Queens. Louis, how are you today?
How's it going, Sal? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. What's on your mind?
Oh, awesome. No, listen, I'm gonna be straight up. I'm a Yankee fan, and I can admit the call was right. Okay, the ball touched the ground. It shouldn't have been out. But at the end of the day, I disagree with you about saying, hey, as long as they get the call right, because we watch a game of baseball. I'm 39. I've been watching since I was like 8 years old or something right. like that. And we watch this game. There's a million and one calls we can go back and look at and say, hey, they got it wrong, but they made the call on the field and they kept it moving. Same thing in football. Even with replay in football, they get calls wrong. And right. if there's not irrefutable replay evidence, then people don't challenge it and they just keep the game moving. The game has human error. Umpires are going to make bad calls sometimes. They shouldn't have been able to go back without a challenge and review that call. And at the end of the day, to me, if we're for going back and getting every call right, then we should all be for going back and making sure every strike that's called a ball is replayed and called a ball.
Well, they're going to do that. I mean, they're going to eventually do that. We're headed toward robot umps or an automated strike zone.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to me.
I'm with you. We're in agreement. I don't want the automated strike zone, but that's where we're going. So baseball's got to pick a side. Do you want to get everything right or don't you? I'm a little confused by it myself, I must admit.
I don't know why people don't appreciate the imperfection of the game. Sometimes we're going to get calls wrong, and we're going to argue about it.
And,
that's the beauty of the game.
And, Louis, you also, even with all the replay, all the new angles, all the technology, you also still have calls that are wrong, whether they're reviewable or not, that still impact games in a negative way. So the point is, there's never going to be a perfect system. Then why even have the system at all? That's my feeling.
I understand trying to make sure that
you can't say that one on the air. But anyway, you're saying you don't want to not have replay at all. To me, you have to have you have to have a goal. Is the goal to speed up the game? Is the goal to get the call right? You can't, and obviously their goal in all these sports, whether it's the NFL, whatever, NBA, all these sports are using replay now. Their goal is to try to get as many calls right as possible. Yet all we do is complain about calls that aren't gotten right. Whether it's the NFL in a big postseason game or the Super Bowl or whatever. So what good is replay then? Get rid of it. What's the worst that could happen? More calls are gotten wrong? So what? What if it's an important one? Like we've seen. Then what's the difference? What good's all the other replay? And if you're going to have replay in there, do whatever you can to get the calls right. And that's why I give the umpires, I applaud the umpires from today's game with the Yankees and Guardians. They did the right thing. Yeah, they did the right thing. They got their job done. They got the call right. That's their job. 877-337-6666. More your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan. Sal Licata back on the Fan. How about this? The Chicago Bulls become the first 10th place team to win a play-in game as they send the Raptors into an elimination game now coming up tomorrow? No, Friday, right? I think both the elimination games are Friday, or is that tomorrow, Connor? Do you have any idea? I have no idea with the schedule all over the place.
I think it's Friday, too.
Okay, right. So, right, naturally, because they would have a day off. I thought it was Friday. So there were two games yesterday, two games tonight. We now know, well, there's one more a little bit later on. We now know it'll be the Chicago Bulls getting the seventh spot. Hold on a second. How does this work now, Connor? I'm confused. Oh, yeah, the 7-8 game. So the Bulls now will go play in that play-in. So they're not in yet. The Hawks are in. And now the Bulls will have an opportunity to play for the 8 spot against... Is that it? The Raptors are done, huh? The Raptors are out. Because the Bulls now will have a chance to play the Heat, who lost to the Hawks. Winner of that gets the 8 seed. Okay, I was a little confused there for a second. And now later on tonight, we'll have the Pelicans and the Thunder. Loser goes home. Winner moves on to take on the T-Wolves for the 8th seed battle. So there you go. These are elimination games tonight, and then we'll have two more elimination games on Friday. 877-337-6666. More on the NBA coming up in about 10 minutes or so with JVT as we'll preview all the series that are set. Hector is in Washington tonight. Good evening, Hector.
Good evening, Sal. 2 days in a row before midnight. said, ready to get used to this stuff.
That is correct. Get used to it, because I believe I'm going to be here for at least a few weeks while Keith is away on paternity leave.
Although there's a little drawback when there's games in the evening, then, you know, sometimes we may miss you, sometimes we only get an hour or two of you.
Well, I'll be on, so like the next two nights, I'm on, but I'm going to be on after the Yankees postgame.
That's what I mean. That can go late. I mean, you know, the pitch clock helps us a little bit, so that's good. And I'm surprised you're not out there. I mean, I guess you're working, but you're not out there with all your Islanders gear on, rooting on your team tonight, you know?
I didn't get the invite.
You didn't get the invite. You're probably wearing the stuff in the studio tonight. Who knows?
No, that is not true. I told you before, Hector, you're not paying attention. I'm wearing my Saratoga shirt today.
Yo, who?
My Saratoga shirt. And by the way, it's too close to the playoffs. I'm in full Rangers mode right now when it comes to the postseason. No messing around with the Islanders.
I hear you, brother.
Even if they did invite me, at least I'm hoping they don't invite me, because that would be a tough decision. But even if they did invite me, I'm not going there. It's playoff time.
Yeah. So I'm gonna
first time since 1994, all five winner teams are in. You know what happened in 1994, don't you, Hector?
Yes, sir. This is gonna be a lot of fun.
Hopefully. We want the cup.
Yeah. This is gonna be a lot of fun. So the next thing I'm gonna say, I don't even want you to comment on. We don't have to get into it, because I do want to get into a couple of other things. But I just gotta say this, because I'm rewatching the game, and I've loved it. We've talked about it. I've loved this guy for years. He's been a dream of mine. I know everybody's thinking about Ohtani, but Soto in a Mets uniform. This guy loves to play in Citi Field, man. I don't know. I want that guy so bad.
He hit a bomb off of McGill today in the first inning. My goodness.
Yes. But anyways, I digress. Sal, good game, man. I wanted this series. I wanted to make a statement. I know we can't do anything to, you know, change what happened last season. That's over with, right? Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to show that we mean business against these good teams. So I'm extremely happy about the win. I'm happy to see Pete still stay on fire. And, you know, you got to give McGill credit, man. McGill has stepped up. And you know me. You know what I told you. I'm hoping McGill and Peterson do well so that they can push Carrasco out when Verlander eventually gets back here. But now, you know, going into this West Coast, I hope they handle business, man.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666. Been a fun first. Geez, only been 2.5 hours. Is that it? Been a fun first couple hours. We have JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, coming up in a little while. It feels like the show's flying by, and then I'm like, wait a minute, we're going to midnight. We got 2.5 hours left. We'll do some NBA coming up at 10 o'clock, so we'll continue with your calls here and then get in the NBA with JVT in a little bit at 10, and then reset and take your calls on whatever it is the rest of the way. Ooh, an update on the Island. Islanders just scored a goal here. I believe it was a power play goal. And that should just about do it, as they now take a 4-2 lead with under 4 minutes to go out at UBS Arena as they try to clinch a postseason spot and beat the lowly Habs. It looked like Anders Lee getting that one in front of the net. Anyway, the Islanders looking to clinch a playoff spot, which is a big deal, not just because if you're an Islander fan or not, but because it guarantees we will have all five winter sports teams in the postseason. Nets taking on the Sixers, Knicks taking on the Cavs, Rangers taking on either the Devils or the Canes, and the Islanders taking on either the Canes or the Bruins. So this is a big night here. Islanders potentially clinching a playoff spot and clinching the fact that we'll get all the New York teams into the postseason. And really the only team to miss the postseason was the Jets this year. Giants in, obviously they go to the divisional round. Mets, Yankees had their postseason appearance. Yankees go to the ALCS. Mets at least make it to the wild card round. And now you have all five of these teams in. New York sports are back. Chris in Manhattan is on the Fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal. Nice to have you for an extended Mr. Licata broadcast. I'm liking it, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'll tell you this. I like these hours. I mean, I feel energetic.
You sound pretty amped up. Yeah, I dig it. I like it. Hey, I want to talk about the Mets, of course, but I wanted to ask you one question, Sal. When you were growing up, I always wondered, did you have that one favorite baseball player that wasn't on the Mets? Like, who was your athlete that you loved, you kind of rooted for, not when they played against the Mets, but on another team?
Probably two guys. It was, actually three. I'll give you three.
Griffey?
Yup. Griffey Jr. was one. Now, remember, to my age, how old are you, Chris?
I got a couple years on you. I'm 58.
All right, so for me, I'm 43, so Griffey Jr. is in my wheelhouse. So Griffey Jr. would be one. You have any guesses of the others? You might be able to get the other. You might be able to get one of the others, maybe not three.
I don't know. You tell me. I know Griffey would have been there.
All right, Griffey Jr. Bonds was always a favorite of mine, and he was to a point where I remember wanting the. I wanted it. My father would never allow it. I wanted to get that little cross earring in my left ear that Bonds had. I used to love Barry Bonds, so he was number two. Now I liked a bunch of other guys like Canseco, Will Clark, but you're talking about my favorites were. Yeah. Griffey Jr., Bonds, and Fred McGriff. I love Fred McGriff.
Wow. Interesting. Wasn't McGriff drafted by the Mets originally?
No, the Yankees.
Yankees, right.
Yeah, and he got traded to Toronto, and then from there to San Diego, and then from there to Atlanta. And then it was all over the place. Chicago, Tampa, maybe the Dodgers in there as well. But I loved Fred McGriff. Loved Fred McGriff.
Solid, consistent ball player. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, so for my age, Sal, and I was young still, but I mean, Clemente, you know, just I got a chance to root for him when I was young, and that whole story just, you know, what an unbelievable role model on a lot of levels, and it was, you know, I'm happy I got to see him, even though I was very young.
Right.
Anyway, Sal, on the Mets, okay, a good win today, right? I mean, obviously, I mean, nice to see McGill, two pretty much identical starts, right? And one against a much better team, so that was a positive. There were some positives today, but the two things I wanted to bring with you is, I got to tell you, Mark Canha, I'm starting to lose it with this guy, and I'm convinced that he's one of these players that should not be a full-time player. You see the worst of him when he's playing too often. I think you see a better version of him when he's playing 60% of the time.
Or how about this? How about if you saw him strictly batting in the seventh spot? I mean, maybe not every day, but the majority of time as a seven hitter, I think our expectations. See, here's the problem that the Mets have. They have too many guys that all they do is walk. I know Nimmo had three hits today, but Nimmo is known for walking. Daniel Vogelbach, known for walking. Mark Canha is a guy who's going to walk. They need hits, not walks. So I'm sick and tired of the same stuff with the walks from these guys.
Sal, you're right. And listen, we know they're going to make some moves. And by the way, you know, Epler is getting killed. But, you know, listen, thank God he brought Robertson in here. I mean, my God.
Why is Epler getting killed? I don't understand that. Somebody's got to explain this to me.
I'm just hearing that. I'm not necessarily myself personally. I guess because they feel like, you know, offensively, he never addressed that. He was, you know, going with these people he likes, like Vogelbach and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's the impression I'm getting from other callers. But look, he brought Robertson in here, and that's, so far, paying huge dividends. But, Sal, you know, the way that the lineup is now, and obviously we can really see what's happening, it's basically Lindor and Alonso, you know, and McNeil to some degree, leading the herd. And the only fear with that is if it stays this way, and I'm sure there'll be changes, but if it stays this way, that's a scary combination in a short series, only because if those two guys slow down, you're in big trouble. That's actually a better combination to win games in the season. But if Alonso and Lindor both go into a slump at the end of the season in the post, ooh, that's going to be tough.
Well, that's why it's hard to see this, and thanks for the call, Chris, to see this team built the way that it is. Now, I do have full confidence in both Steve Cohen and Billy Epler that they are going to add a big bat at the trade deadline. Let's hope it's not like last year with Darren Ruff and Daniel Vogelbach. And by the way, Darren Ruff is back up with the Giants and in there for the San Francisco Giants tonight as the DH. But anyway, you know, they tried to go with, instead of a big impact bat, they went with guys who I guess are analytically sound. Ruff was supposed to mash lefties, and Vogelbach is a guy who was a decent left-handed option. I didn't have a problem with the trade, either trade at the time, but I thought that it was going to be one more piece. There wasn't. They never made that big move, the known, no doubt about it bat. The argument will be that that bat is not there or wasn't there. Now they have to make something happen. The Islanders won 4-2, so they have clinched a playoff spot. That is official. But the Mets are going to need an impact bat. Now, if you add a legitimate five-hole hitter, which is why we love the idea of Carlos Correa, because he is that bat. If you add that, Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, you know, Correa or a legit five bat, whoever it is, McNeil 6, Canha 7, Beatty 8, Alvarez / catching spot 9. That's a pretty deep lineup. But now you're adding, you know, in this equation, you're adding Beatty and you're adding a five hitter. That's two legitimate bats that you're adding to that lineup. Well, I mean, that's what they're missing. You could live with Mark Canha in that spot. You can live with Canha and Nimmo and Vogelback and Escobar and the catcher spot the way that it is. You just can't do it. I mean, you can. You're not going to win a World Series like that. Manny is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Manny?
Sal, how's it going?
How are you, Manny?
I'm good. I'm good. First of all, congratulations to the hockey locals. You know, it feels great for the city, and best of luck to all of them. Now, well, Sal.
Best of luck to the Rangers. Forget about the Islanders and the Devils.
Hey, listen, man, I'm a big look, I cheer for all the New York teams. I want them to be great. You know what I'm saying? Especially going against the other.
Yeah, but when they're playing each other, it's hard, man. You can't root for them all.
I go for the Rangers. I'm a Rangers fan when it comes to the hockey. So.
I will be rooting for the Islanders. I was rooting for them to get in. I will be rooting for the Islanders to win their first round matchup with whoever it is, Boston or Carolina, or I guess it could still be the Devils technically. So whoever right. The Islanders are playing, I want the Islanders to win, and I want the Rangers to meet the Islanders in a second round. That's what I'm rooting for.
Well, that's going to be interesting. That's going to get the city going crazy. Now, Sal, going back to this Yankee game and this whole replay stuff, I get where you're coming from where, you know, replay is replay. They got it right. But then what's the point of this 15-second rule and, you know, Tito didn't challenge it. You know, rules are rules at the end of the day.
Right. I know, but it's a stupid rule. I don't care about those rules.
It is. I actually agree with you. It is. But at the same time, why don't they just scrap that hole? Because it just doesn't make sense.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. I want to see them get – if replay is going to be there. Look, I'm fine with two things. Either get rid of replay or get the call on the field correct every single time. If you can't do the second one, then they might as well do the first one. So today's issue with the umpires is, to me, not a problem because they actually got the call right, which I believe is the entire point. I don't know why people aren't getting that. You want the call. If you're going to have replay there, get it right. Now, you're right. They could take away those rules to try to help get the call right more often. But baseball's half-weighing it. You either have replay to get the calls right or you don't have replay. Which one is it?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Have the replay. But, you know, because all this is just confusion, you know, throughout the whole thing. You know, I get the side of everyone saying, you know, you go with the rules because, you know, the other team missed out on the opportunity. You know, I get that. But at the same time, you know, they got it right with the replay. So, I don't know. I just sit back and listen.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Manny. Thank you for the call. I understand what you guys are saying about the rule. I'm just saying that it's a stupid rule. And ultimately, whether you want to abide by the rule, whether you think it's a stupid rule, it doesn't really matter. What matters is getting the call on the field correct. That is correct. And that's what they did. They got it correct. Spanish Armada. That's correct. Louis is calling from Queens. Louis, how are you today?
How's it going, Sal? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you loud and clear. What's on your mind?
Oh, awesome. No, listen, I'm gonna be straight up. I'm a Yankee fan, and I can admit the call was right. Okay, the ball touched the ground. It shouldn't have been out. But at the end of the day, I disagree with you about saying, hey, as long as they get the call right, because we watch a game of baseball. I'm 39. I've been watching since I was like 8 years old or something
right.
like that. And we watch this game. There's a million and one calls we can go back and look at and say, hey, they got it wrong, but they made the call on the field and they kept it moving. Same thing in football. Even with replay in football, they get calls wrong. And
right.
if there's not irrefutable replay evidence, then people don't challenge it and they just keep the game moving. The game has human error. Umpires are going to make bad calls sometimes. They shouldn't have been able to go back without a challenge and review that call. And at the end of the day, to me, if we're for going back and getting every call right, then we should all be for going back and making sure every strike that's called a ball is replayed and called a ball.
Well, they're going to do that. I mean, they're going to eventually do that. We're headed toward robot umps or an automated strike zone.
It's ridiculous to me. Like,
I'm with you. We're in agreement. I don't want the automated strike zone, but that's where we're going. So baseball's got to pick a side. Do you want to get everything right or don't you? I'm a little confused by it myself, I must admit.
I don't know why people don't appreciate the imperfection of the game. Sometimes we're going to get calls wrong, and we're going to argue about it.
And,
that's the beauty of the game.
And, Louis, you also, even with all the replay, all the new angles, all the technology, you also still have calls that are wrong, whether they're reviewable or not, that still impact games in a negative way. So the point is, there's never going to be a perfect system. Then why even have the system at all? That's my feeling.
I understand trying to make sure that...
You can't say that one on the air. But anyway, you're saying you don't want to not have replay at all. To me, you have to have... you have to have a goal. Is the goal to speed up the game? Is the goal to get the call right? You can't, and obviously their goal in all these sports, whether it's the NFL, whatever, NBA, all these sports are using replay now. Their goal is to try to get as many calls right as possible. Yet all we do is complain about calls that aren't gotten right. Whether it's the NFL in a big postseason game or the Super Bowl or whatever. So what good is replay then? Get rid of it. What's the worst that could happen? More calls are gotten wrong? So what? What if it's an important one? Like we've seen. Then what's the difference? What good's all the other replay? And if you're going to have replay in there, do whatever you can to get the calls right. And that's why I give the umpires, I applaud the umpires from today's game with the Yankees and Guardians. They did the right thing. Yeah, they did the right thing. They got their job done. They got the call right. That's their job. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan. Sal Licata back on the Fan. How about this? The Chicago Bulls become the first 10th place team to win a play-in game as they send the Raptors into an elimination game now coming up tomorrow? No, Friday, right? I think both the elimination games are Friday, or is that tomorrow, Connor? Do you have any idea? I have no idea with this schedule all over the place.
I think it's Friday, too.
Okay, right. So, right, naturally, because they would have a day off. I thought it was Friday. So there were two games yesterday, two games tonight. We now know, well, there's one more a little bit later on. We now know it'll be the Chicago Bulls getting the seventh spot. Hold on a second. How does this work now, Connor? I'm confused. Oh, yeah, the 7-8 game. So the Bulls now will go play in that play-in. So they're not in yet. The Hawks are in. And now the Bulls will have an opportunity to play for the 8 spot against... Is that it? The Raptors are done, huh? The Raptors are out. Because the Bulls now will have a chance to play the Heat, who lost to the Hawks. Winner of that gets the 8 seed. Okay, I was a little confused there for a second. And now later on tonight, we'll have the Pelicans and the Thunder. Loser goes home. Winner moves on to take on the T-Wolves for the 8th seed battle. So there you go. These are elimination games tonight, and then we'll have two more elimination games on Friday. 877-337-6666. More on the NBA coming up in about 10 minutes or so with JVT as we'll preview all the series that are set. Hector is in Washington tonight. Good evening, Hector.
Good evening, Sal. 2 days in a row before midnight. Been ready to get used to this stuff.
That is correct. Get used to it, because I believe I'm going to be here for at least a few weeks while Keith is away on paternity leave.
Although there's a little drawback when there's games in the evening, then, you know, sometimes we may miss you. Sometimes we only get an hour or two of you.
Well, I'll be on. So, like, the next two nights, I'm on, but I'm going to be on after the Yankees postgame.
That's what I mean. That can go late. I mean, you know, the pitch clock helps us a little bit, so that's kind of good. And I'm surprised you're not out there. I mean, I guess you're working, but you're not out there with all your Islanders gear on, rooting on your team tonight. You know?
I didn't get the invite.
You didn't get the invite. You're probably wearing the stuff in the studio tonight. Who knows?
No, that is not true. I told you before, Hector, you're not paying attention. I'm wearing my Saratoga shirt today.
Yo, who?
My Saratoga shirt. And by the way, it's too close to the playoffs. I'm in full Rangers mode right now when it comes to the postseason. No messing around with the Islanders.
I hear you, brother.
Even if they did invite me, at least I'm hoping they don't invite me, because that would be a tough decision. But even if they did invite me, I'm not going there. It's playoff time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to
first time since 1994, all five winner teams are in. You know what happened in 1994, don't you, Hector?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Hopefully. We want the cup. We want the cup.
Yeah. This is going to be a lot of fun. Sal, the next thing I'm going to say, I don't even want you to comment on. We don't have to get into it because I do want to get into a couple of other things. But I just got to say this because I'm rewatching the game, and I've loved it. We've talked about it. I've loved this guy for years. He's been a dream of mine. I know everybody's thinking about Ohtani, but Soto in a Mets uniform. This guy loves to play in Citi Field, man. I don't know. I want that guy so bad.
He hit a bomb off of McGill today in the first inning. My goodness.
Yes. But anyways, I digress. Sal, good game, man. I wanted this series. I wanted to make a statement. I know we can't do anything to, you know, change what happened last season. That's over with, right? Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to show that we mean business against these good teams. So I'm extremely happy about the win. I'm happy to see Pete still stay on fire. And, you know, you got to give McGill credit, man. McGill's has stepped up. And you know me. You know what I told you. I'm hoping McGill and Peterson do well so that they can push Carrasco out when Verlander eventually gets back here. But now, you know, going into this West Coast, I hope they handle business, man. You know, you don't want to say the sweep teams, but I hope they go out there and sweep Oakland. Go out there and sweep Oakland, and then, you know, we see what we do with the Dodgers and the Giants. But, yeah, man, just feeling real good about the Rangers. But I do, you said you wanted some negatives, so I got a couple of negatives for you, Sal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't say I wanted negatives. I was just saying we're the Met fans where there's not much to complain about today. All of a sudden,
Here I am, brother. Here I am. You say, and here I am for you. So I can't take this McNeil nonsense, dropping him to 6th, 7th, because he's a lefty on the mound. He has good numbers versus lefties. This guy's the batting champion. Can we leave him in the 5-hole? I don't care who's pitching. Leave him in the 5-hole. Like, what is this nonsense with Canna? Like, no.
Well, they're looking for more power out of that spot, which I can't argue with. The problem is they don't have that on the roster. It's not Vogelback. It's not Canna. It's not Tommy Pham. And it's certainly not McNeil.
You mentioned Pham, Sal, and guys you talked about before. I wouldn't be surprised if Pham ends up pushing Canna a little bit for playing time out there in the outfield. You don't think?
Yeah, Saratoga Wills brought that up before. Tommy Pham's numbers. He has not been bad. He had another couple of hits today. He's had last night he had a ribby driving in a run there in that, was it the 9th inning there, keeping hopes alive for the Mets. So, yeah, Pham's a good ball player. I know you like him too, Hector.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But, you know, I liked him more for the attitude and the grit that he was going to bring and you
right.
know, the enforcer thing. And then two more things.
Two more things? What do you think this is? 3 a.m.? Let's go here, Hector. Let's keep it moving here. Hey, on the overnights, we don't have a pitch clock. And on the evenings, there's a pitch clock involved. Let's go.
No, the other thing I want to say is I don't care. I want Mauricio up here. Let this kid DH for 2-3 weeks, and let me see what he got. He's killing the minors. He doesn't belong in the minors right now. But the other thing is, I love that spot with Omar, man. I miss Omar so much. I wish Omar was on the Mets. But I want you to do me a favor, because I almost texted you for this, and it's either with Omar or Terry, something that keeps coming up amongst my friends. Can you find out for me this whole thing with players going to the WBC? Can a team really stop? And I'm not talking about injured players, because I understand if a player's injured, coming off an injury, whatever, they couldn't, you know, say, listen, we don't want you going, and I understand that. But a perfectly healthy player that wants to go to WBC, can you please find out for me a definitive answer? Can a team say, no, you can't go, or is it really up to the player?
I think it's up to the player more. Thank you, Hector, as always. Appreciate you checking in. I think it's up to the player. Now, the team can say, we don't want you to go, and we strongly recommend you not going, but I think it's up to the player. Michael is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Sal, how you doing tonight, buddy?
How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So this Mets team is getting old, okay? They're old. They need a little jolt of some young players. Why not put McNeil in left field and Mauricio at second base?
Mauricio, he's not a second baseman.
He's a shortstop. How different is it?
Well, I mean, it's different, as you know. I think, if anything, you'd see Mauricio in the outfield eventually, but certainly not now, as he's not accustomed to the outfield.
Okay, but then why are they leaving him as shortstop in the minors? They're using him as trade bait.
Possibly. I mean, he could also come up here and be DH, but I think eventually you'll see him move to the outfield spot.
I'm just tired of seeing these. You got to give these kids a chance. Vientos hit another three-run bomb today.
Yeah, their minor leaguers are performing. Now, remember, and thank you for the call, Michael, it is the minor leagues, but their minor leaguers are performing at a high level. Beatty, Mauricio, Vientos, they're hitting. And the calls are only going to get louder. The sounds, the screams, whatever. They're going to get louder when you got the Major League Mets not getting the job done and the Minor League Mets raking. And there is a big difference between coming up in the big leagues and hitting in AAA. But those guys are right now forcing the issue to a man. Beatty, and who knows who's going to be first. But Escobar struggling, Beatty doing well and healthy, hard to keep him down forever. Mauricio and Vientos also making it hard on the Mets. 877-337-6666. Take a quick break. Come back, do some NBA on the other side. Keep it going with your calls for the final 2 hours as well. Sal Licata on the Fan.